Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
Do you have unrealistic expectations of your partner? Or maybe your partner has unrealistic expectations of you. How are you managing that? I want us to talk about managing unrealistic expectations in relationships today. Because relationships are filled with expectations. When you're entering a relationship, you know, you usually have a predetermined set of standards about how you want to be treated, about how you want the relationship to look. And those expectations are important because sometimes they do point you to the right direction. They help you with the boundaries you need. You know, they shape the dynamics of that relationship. But the problem is, unrealistic expectations can also destroy a relationship because you're expecting someone to do something that, one, maybe they're ignorant of, or they're unwilling to provide, or they just don't know that that's what they were expected to do. You know, you've got people who expect that, oh, my partner is never, ever, ever going to ruin my life. Oh, forget ruin, because no partner should ruin your life. It's not going to hurt me. Like, mistakes happen. Your partner may hurt you, sometimes unwillingly, unintentionally so. Huh? Or maybe you say, oh, I want to get whatever I want in a relationship. That's your expectation. Huh? Or you're expecting that your partner must always be the one that apologizes when they've done everything wrong. That's an unrealistic, unfair expectation. Oh, wow, I expect my partner to be with me always. The partner must guess what is going on with me. They must know when I'm not okay, even when I'm not communicating it. I must be their top priority. So when you're harboring these unrealistic and unreasonable expectations in relationship, that can really frustrate you. Can even, you know, build resentment, anger, so much stress on you that it ends up ruining that relationship. So let's have a chat about this, and please share your experiences as well. Are you becoming too big in your relationship? I mean, do you have a partner that's got these unrealistic big expectations of you? Or maybe you've realized that you've got expectations of your partner that have actually not been met. How do you deal with that? How do you know if you're asking too much from your partner? 011-883-0702. That's the number you can call for your inputs or questions. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Shelley Lewin is the relationship architect or author of Uncomplicated Love, a couples counselor and relationship coach. She's going to guide us through this conversation. Shelley, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Clement. Thank you so much. Great topic.
Yeah, quite an important one, right? Maybe we should start
off.
Let's start off by just, you know, laying the basis here. What is the difference between having these unrealistic expectations in relationships and setting our own standards? Because sometimes you can say, well, it's my standard. I want to be loved this way. I want to be treated this way. That's not necessarily an unrealistic expectation. It's just what I know I'm worth, what I know is my standard. Yes. So how do we differentiate between the two?
Okay, it's a really great question. So I want you to imagine you're playing a game with your partner. A standard in the game is the rules you both agree to play by. So we agree these are the rules of the game. We're going to take it in turns. We're going to be fair. It's like the basic stuff that makes it worthwhile, that makes being in that game and participating in that fun and fair for both people. It's mutually agreed. An expectation is what you hope will happen. So maybe you hope your partner will be nice to you if you lose, or that you'll both have a good time. So an expectation is like a wish about how things should go based on what you think is right or nice. And in a relationship, standards are the important things that both people agree on that's going to make the relationship work. It's going to make the relationship healthy. It's going to be mutually beneficial. So like being honest, being kind, And expectations are the extra things that you hope for, like getting flowers on your birthday or that we spend lots of time together. And it's common to have expectations, but it's important to talk about them so that everyone knows what's going on.
So what's the best thing to do then to avoid an expectation that may be unreasonable and unrealistic? Based on what you say, is it best then to say, as we start this relationship, what do you expect of me? What do I expect of you? Because then at least that sets the rules of, I know how this person wants to be treated, how they want to be loved, you know, how they want to be spoken to on the phone, how many times, etc. Would that assist?
Yes, absolutely. So it's around looking at, you know, so there's a couple of things that we don't tend to talk about that are important. So I'm going to start with the most obvious one.
Mm.
So monogamy, for example, there's this undiscussed expectation that everyone in a couple wants monogamy. But so you go into it and then someone has an affair or is flirting or having, you know, get involved in some interactions with a third party. You know, did you ever actually have the discussion that you want to be in a monogamous relationship, that you are a one person, that you want one person, that you want to be only having one person in the relationship, or are you actually open to having an open relationship? So that's a very simple example where we don't discuss these things. There's just an expectation of it, but we've never actually discussed it and had an agreement in place. So we both agree what we both want is a monogamous relationship. And there's all sorts of things. It's like, for example, your personal space, you know, how much alone time do you need? How much do both of you expect or want for you to feel like you are be able to function? How much time together? How much time apart? What's reasonable? How social boundaries? You know, how do you? What's your around spending time with family and friends? So if you grew up in a home, for example, where there's the house is a train station, there's people always coming in and going out, and you know, people arrive without any notification, and you're permanently surrounded by friends, and it's a very social and you're entertaining a lot, you might go into a relationship as an adult thinking that's normal, that surely that's how it works with everyone. But if I grew up in a home where it was, where we were very quiet, where we, if we invited people over, it would happen once a month, and we would invite them, no one arrived unexpectedly. You know, you're entering into a relationship then with completely different ideas of what's normal around socializing and what's healthy. So it's not to say that either person is right or wrong. It's just it has to be discussed. We have to come to an agreement around what do we want? What will work for us? The same is true of finances. Money can be a sensitive topic. So it's important to talk about your financial expectations. How are you going to handle shared expenses, saving, spending, your plans, your future plans? It's okay to have different hopes for the future, but how are we going to work together towards achieving those? You know, do we both want marriage? Do we both want children? Do we both want careers? What do you see for yourself? So you can see how when these things don't get discussed, it can really cause troubles later on. As you mentioned earlier, it can lead to resentment and anger and disappointment. Because it was never actually discussed. What are the rules of this arrangement, of this? What are we trying to achieve in this union and in this partnership? And how do we want that? So you can, communication is really vital to talk about what you think and feel and notice and experience in a calm and respectful way so that you can figure it out together as you go.
So what causes these unrealistic expectations in relationships? Because sometimes, you know, people are coming from their previous relationships and things were done this particular way in that previous relationship. So they use that as a standard, you know, or maybe yes, it's also exactly. partly what we see in the media, because Shirley, I mean, what's being portrayed yeah. in the media is not often real. Like, you think people are happy all the time? They receive flowers every Monday?
Exactly. I know. So what I can say is that most of us, most of the time, get caught because we are watching movies, TV shows, social media, books, even pornography. You know, that's fantasy. It's been curated. It was designed for entertainment. It isn't real. And so we grow up watching these things where everything seems to work out and it looks amazing and it ends with a climax, you know, basically. And that people start to think that that's how it should be in real life. Although, and in real life, it doesn't look like that. You know, it's messier and more complex. A movie has to have a happy ending. Otherwise we won't watch it. You know, it's not going to appeal to us if it ends badly. So it a big part is Hollywood and Bollywood. It sort of thrills us, all media, you know, it thrills us with narratives that are not necessarily realistic. And so over time, our technology, our careers, our music, our art, they've all sort of been inspired by these stories and storytelling, but a lot of it is fantasy and it isn't real. It isn't based on reality. So it's very easy to get caught up in having these unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. The media's portrayal of love.
Exactly.
Okay. It's 19 minutes after 11 o'clock. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to hear from you on 011-883-0702. You can send me a WhatsApp as well on 072-702-1702. What's your experience around expectations? What expectations do you have of your partner? Do you talk about them in the beginning? As Shirley says, that often helps. So are you a type that's like, you know yourself that you have these unrealistic expectations where you know my partner must know how I feel. My partner must know that I'm upset about what they've done. And you don't necessarily talk about it. Or I expect to be with them all the time. How do you navigate that? And where do you think that attachment style comes from? Give us a call or send us a WhatsApp.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
23 minutes after 11 o'clock. Unrealistic expectations in marriages, in relationships. How are you dealing with that? That's our conversation this morning on our relationship feature. Let's go to your WhatsApp voice note.
Hey, morning, Clemzo. Great show as usual. Unrealistic expectations that I've experienced is when you date someone for a while and then in the beginning of the relationship, everything's nice. You give them attention, you shower them with gifts and whatnot. You know, you get a proper boyfriend or partner, and then they still expect that like 3, 4 years, 5 years down the road, like, guys, this has not been realistic. But on the other hand, we as men also have unrealistic expectations whereby we expect our partners, female partners, to be as sexy as we met them and whatnot. But with them, they can still eat a bit healthy, they can still gym a bit. I know it's not realistic most of the time, but yeah, but they can at least try. But yeah, great show. Cooks from Devland.
Thank you, Cooks. So Shirley, Cooks says the other unrealistic expectation in his experience is that, I mean, every relationship starts with so much romance, with so much love, with many kisses, you know, the sexual tension, you know, gifts, travels. The problem becomes in sustaining that. And he says sometimes the unrealistic expectation is that that's going to be the way for the rest of our time together. When in fact, there must be an understanding that there's a moment for things like that. It doesn't mean you must stop going out or stop traveling or stop, you know, being affectionate, but it's not going to be at the same intensity as it was in the beginning. Is that fair?
Well, let's just say that in the courtship, When you're courting someone and you are, as you say, you're trying to win the person over, so you're putting an extra effort. I would say that you should start as you intend to finish, So if you're going above and beyond, and you're almost sort of out of character, you are showing the person that's you advertising. That's your advertising. You're advertising, this is who I am. This is how you can what you can expect from me, So if they then choose, yes, I like this product, this I love this advertising, this is exactly what I want. And then suddenly the moment that person has bought in and said, yes, I'm in, I want this person, this product, and then suddenly you change the product and go, oh no, that was just the advertising. That's not what you actually get. So there is a level of responsibility of not overselling yourself, rather try not to oversell yourself and then overpromise and underdeliver. Then of course someone's going to be disappointed by that. So try to stay as much as possible to be your authentic self right from the beginning. As I said, start as you intend to finish. So yes, shower someone with attention and gifts, and the intensity might reduce a little bit. Sure, because we get busy, life gets busy, and often there's children involved and whatever. But it doesn't mean you should go from 100% involvement and I'm giving you showering with your attention and gifts to like zero. Suddenly it's like a chopped liver and I have absolutely nothing for you.
But also,
So
don't
I
start
do
something
think.
you can't finish. Like, what's the point of also
Correct.
like coming through so harsh in the beginning when you know that's not sustainable in the long run?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Take responsibility for how you show up at the beginning. You need to maintain that. And, with regards to people staying healthy, if that's important to you, if it's important to me, that comes down to standards. It's like, can we agree that we both need to look after ourselves? We both need to look after our health. We both need to look after our well-being, because our physical connection and our attraction to each other and our chemistry is an important part of our relationship. So in order for us to stay physically attracted to each other, can we both agree that we're both going to take care of ourselves physically? If you have that conversation up front, that becomes a standard. It's an agreement that you've made. It's not an expectation. It's not an unrealistic
And you can even
expectation.
hold each other accountable, right? And help each other even in the process of keeping
Exactly.
healthy. Hey, babe, it's time for us to go to gym, you
Correct.
know?
Exactly. You know what, babe? You and I are both getting a bit slack. I think we both need to start to eat better. Let's do this thing together,
Yes, 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 absolutely. Let's go to Wendy in the East Rand. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I have three questions.
Sure.
People find me to be unrealistic. Number one, I don't believe in introducing a man to my kids because my parenting style is more about actions rather than words. I don't want to do something I don't want to compromise my kids. So a dating is outside my kids. That's number one.
So wait, when do you
Number two,
introduce? Once there's a marriage or what?
once there's a direction, there's a
Okay, there's
longevity,
commitment. Okay,
there's
cool.
a commitment. We've established that, yes, I
All
may
right.
be. And number two, it's a gesture of respect towards my kids. I am
Okay.
raising girls. I don't want to introduce a man to my kids. That's just me. Number two, financial. Not that I'm stingy. I am a woman who do over and above for my men. However, there are men who have expectations that they attach financially, that I'm working. You have to do this because I have a consistent salary. I don't want that burden. Number three, to be controlled or somebody to override my life. As a woman, I have my own personal interests and activities, and I don't want to cancel who I am. Rather, I need a man whom will complement each other. A man, I need to have my life. You, as a man, have your life. Then we find a balance to be together. But I find men who wants to tell me that I gym a lot or I do this. like they want to be control how I do things. Am I being unrealistic?
Hey, doesn't sound unrealistic to me, Wendy. But I'll hear from Shelley after the latest in Eyewitness News.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk
on 702.
All right, so we got a call from Wendy. Shelley, you've heard the three things that she raised. Any advice? Are these unrealistic?
Wendy, you do not have unrealistic expectations. You have healthy, high standards. So I want you to think about dating as due diligence. If we merge any two organizations, right, we do a proper due diligence to assess the risk. We're figuring out, is this going to be mutually beneficial? Is this union going to add value to us both? And if you think about two people coming together, it's not dissimilar to two organizations coming together. You are assessing, do I want to expose my most precious treasures to this person until I've assessed whether they're all in? Are we going to be a good fit? Are we going to partner with each other well? So no, there is absolutely nothing wrong with holding out until there's commitment before. And as you said, it's a gesture of respect to your girls. So I agree 100% on that. I think that it's the most common sense thing to do, actually, is to not expose your children to anybody until you know that person's going to be around for the long term. Then with regard to the financial expectations, part of your due diligence is you're looking for a partner who has their own financial stability, because you are not wanting to be financially burdened by this merger. So that makes total sense as well. You're just clear around the rules of your game. And you're not wanting to be controlled and to lose your independence. So the journey for you, I'm just going to say, is a cautionary, is to be alert, not to be fiercely independent. At the end of the day, you are wanting to have interdependence, as this merger where there's two people that are going to come together in a partnership. And if you're fighting very strongly for independence, sure, you don't want to be controlled, I get that, but you also need to be able to lean into each other and to work together and partner together. So you're going to have to make sure you do your proper due diligence first.
Absolutely. Let's go to Kagiso, who's calling us from the East Rand. Kagiso, hi.
Good day, Tamanda. How are you?
Good, man. What's your experience?
Hey, I've got tons and tons of experience, Clement. Mm. But I just want to pick up one or two of such. At the start of a relationship, Clement, when you're so young and then you're just finding each other out, it's okay to spend time together. But it sometimes gets to the extreme where now the expectation has escalated what you could even offer. You know, I had to now, because I was working, and then so we had that relationship, and then we went on to get married. Now, because she was at home, there were expectations wherein she started now insisting that I actually take her to work with. I was working for a financial institution. I was a brand manager there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with her coming with me, it was okay, because sometimes she will just give me a message to say that she's taking a walk around the mall, she's taking a walk around the area. But it got worse, and wherein we then had a little baby. Now, you've got a baby, and this person now saying when you go to work and then they are coming with you. Now you are stuck with two people at the basement, underground.
So why do they need to come to you? Is it not safe for them to stay behind at home?
It was. I mean, we are living in a gated and secured complex, Clement, with security and stuff. So you wouldn't get into our complex unless they buzz you in. You know, I tried to understand at something at the beginning. But maybe it's just one of those things where somebody doesn't want to be separated from their loved ones and whatnot. It's always that thing that we're spending time together. Mm-hmm. But when it escalated to the point where it was even endangering the child, because now it's a complex where now it's a parking, underground parking basement.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two people there. Now you're supposed to be at the top working and actually focusing and concentrating. So the concentration started to lap because I'm worried about the people at the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
But the child is hungry. And security wise and all of that, because it's dark and all of that. So it started getting to me and actually affected my work, you know. And it's a lot, Lemon, because I used to also have relationships and network that could have gotten us far, you know. I was starting to be complained to be, you are now starting to spend more time with these people, you know. And I say, but these are the people that are actually making things happen for us so that then we can have the money to do the things that we want, you know. You come back from those meetings, I would even order something for her to say, listen, I brought you this when I was in that meeting. The comments will be, when in this meeting you guys are eating nice, you know. You know, so it became unbearable, Clement. It became unbearable.
Where is the relationship now?
Done, gone.
Yeah, askies, man. Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't sound healthy, right, that you go to work and your partner's like, I'm going with you.
No, not healthy at all.
Yeah. So Shelley, I mean, I think Kagiso realized that. That's why the relationship is no more. But yeah, that doesn't sound healthy at all.
No, that's not partnership. That's dependency. You didn't have a partner there. You had two children. It's like taking two children with you to work. And when your partner is an adult who doesn't need to be looked after. So, you know, if she is incapable of functioning without someone taking care of her, then it's like trying to engage with a child. So it was completely unrealistic expectation to be taken care of 24/7. That's not your role as a partner. So it was very unhealthy, and I'm I completely understand why it was unbearable for you.
Yeah, let's go to Kamo in Johannesburg. Kamo, good morning.
Morning, Simon, and to listeners. Morning to Clement and your guest.
Sure.
I think one of the most unrealistic expectations from, I don't want to generalize, but let me just say from my relationship is that I'm expected to perform like a horse. What that basically means is that when the relationship begins, you know, when you have sexual encounters, you can go for long lengths, you can do like, but when relationship for some time, you're going for, yes, it's no longer about sex. You're in the relationship.
Mm. Hold on, Kamo. Ooh. Can we sort out that line with Kamo? It's not the best. I want to hear what Kamo is saying. So he says that for him, the unrealistic expectation has been around, you know, sexual performance. He says he's expected to perform the same like he did before. Kamo, I think we've got you on a better line now. So you're saying you feel that it's unrealistic because you are being expected to perform sexually like you used to when the relationship started?
Yes, and the reality of the situation is that in the first year or two, you'll do all types of things. You'll go 3 rounds, 5 rounds, but when you've been with somebody for a lengthy period of time, it doesn't work like that anymore, because your sexual appetite can be satisfied by having a beautiful moment, a sexual encounter, 1 round. But people will still be telling you, no, I need 3 rounds, 5 rounds. Then they accuse you of cheating. And I'm like, this is not when I met you in the first 6 months. There's so many other things about you that I appreciate, that complete me, that I don't need to be on top of you 5 times in a night.
Yeah, sure. Kamo, and you know, earlier Shelley spoke about anybody needs to be careful on how they start, right? Because you don't want to set a precedent that you're not able to sustain. Yeah. So if Kamo, when out Toma, hey, ubizira like 3 times a day, or you are bringing in, you know, positions there that after 3 years of a relationship, you're not able, you know, to still bring, there's always going to be suspicion and some concern, because you started something and set an expectation that you are not able to sustain. But I also hear you a bit in that, you know, any relationship starts with, you know, what do we call it? Honeymoon phase. And in that honeymoon phase, things are going down and you just want to be with each other. You're sexual, like the sexual drive is so high. So I hear that as well. So where are things now, before I give Shelley an opportunity to respond? Where are things now? Are you still being put under pressure? Have you managed to, you know, what's happening now?
Well, I think she's toned down in the sense that she's, you know, I've proven emphatically that I'm not cheating. When would I be cheating? I'm so busy and I'm with you when I have free time. So she's kind of toned down, but, it, you know, the expectation is still there. And I know myself, Clement. In fact, some of my friends call me Staliano. I can vehemently... Don't laugh. Listen, I might be listening here. I can vehemently perform. So, but like I'm saying, it's different. Like, if I can break up with her tomorrow and start going on the dating scene, I can be on top of somebody for 5 rounds. It's not a problem. But there's something else that's involved when you love somebody at that level.
Mm.
You don't just want to be on top of them. You want to be intimate. You want to cuddle. You want to do those type of things.
Got you. Yeah. Can I just say, as I let you go, come, one thing maybe you should appreciate is that at least she communicates that to you. And I think that's a good thing in that she's still telling you that, hey, you know, I want more of this. And it's good to have a partner who still longs for you like that, you know. It means you're doing something right, brother.
No, yeah, I suppose.
Keep it going. Good luck, eh?
Okay, sure.
Mr. Stallion. Shelley?
Yes, so... I think that there's a part here to me, if I think about what's the unrealistic expectation here, to me, it's that, is that we are, she's not in a relationship with a robot or a machine.
Mm.
You know, her partner is human, and humans change and humans evolve. Our libidos change, our desires change, our physical bodies change. You know, it's like saying to someone when you meet them in their 20s and they're going to gym 5 days a week and they have a six pack, and then you're expecting them to have that and for their body to be exactly the same 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. Like, we change, we evolve, and part of our evolution as humans is to grow together. And so to me, the conversations need to be around how my desire has changed. My libido has changed. I'm an older version now. I'm more mature, and I'm expecting different things. So we can still have an incredible sexual connection. Let's just redefine what that looks like. So our physical intimacy just needs to evolve. It doesn't need to stay exactly as it was. It just needs to be an evolved version.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that those kinds of conversations, and it sounds like that's what's happening, that those conversations, that there are other ways for us to connect intimately. It doesn't have to be around the quantity of how many times we are having sex in a night.
Absolutely.